starting on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph by the two dots, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah of Ein Notnim Rishut. We had the Mishnah lay out the cases, and then at the end it had a summary of all those cases, which is that Echa Notin Rishut Venotel Rishut. One person can grant and receive the Bitul Rishut. Shnaim Notnim Rishut. Two people can grant permission, Ve'ein Notnim Rishut, but they cannot receive the Rishut. So Ve'ein Notnim Rishut. Lomali. Why do I need this extra piece in the Mishnah? Look, Tzrichot, we do need it. Even though he says to him, take possession of it, with the intention of passing it on to others. So we said yesterday that the problem with two people who receive the Bitul Rishut from all the parties in the Chatzer is that the two of them still have a problem, because they cause a problem for each other. And because they cause a problem for each other, the Bitul Rishut never goes through. Because it's not effective, it does not succeed. Because when it's given to two people, you don't accomplish what you want. You need to give it to a single person so that there's single ownership. When you grant those rights to Reuben and Shimon, then it's meaningless because Reuben and Shimon cause a problem for each other. And in doing so, the Bitul Rishut is unwound. Bitul Rishut is not effective because it doesn't work. And when it doesn't work, there's no acceptance of the Bitul Rishut. What happens if the people who are granting those rights, grant it to Reuven and Shimon, but when they grant it to Reuven, they grant it to him with the intention that he should pass that on to Shimon. The Gemara says here, Afagav Darmilei, even though they say to him, Kenei Amanat Laknot, take possession of it in order to pass it on, it does not work. It does not work because it's not effective. Bitul Rishut is only effective when it works. And if you give it to him, then with the intent to give it to someone else, it doesn't work yet, because you still have two parties. Whenever there are two parties, it doesn't work, and there's no kinyan. Bitul Rishut can only work where it's going to be successful. So, Bayaminei, Abaye Mei Rabo. Abaye asked this question of Rabo. Chamisha Shishurim B'chatzer Achat. Five people living in a single courtyard. B'shachach Achad Mayim V'lo Yirev. One of them forgot, and did not make the Eruv, or did not join into the Eruv. K'shehu Mevatel Rishuto. When he relinquishes control over the property. Tzarich Levatel L'kol Echad V'Echad. Although, does he have to relinquish his rights to each individual, to the other four parties? Or does he simply give it to one party on behalf of the others? Now, truthfully, this question was raised back in the Gemara, back on Daf Chavavim Bet, as Tosafot notes. We actually also just saw more recently on Samach Zayim and Amud Aleph, which is there's a machloki between Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanon, as to whether when you do Bitul Rishut, whether you have to do it to Kol Echad Ve'Echad, or do you have to do it to just one party? And it's a machloket, Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. Here we're going to have a machloket of Bayin Rabba, as if the other machloket doesn't exist. So Tosafot says that they weren't aware of the Braita. That machloket between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, Rabbi Lezer and the Rabbanon, is a Braita that they were not aware of, and therefore they're going to have an independent machloket here that completely ignores the machloket Tanaim. So Amar Lei, Rabba responded to his Talmid Abaye, Tzarich Lebatel L'Kol Echad Ve'Echad. Rabba says that you have to be Mevatel to each individual. Abaye challenges that statement of Rabba and basically takes the other position on the other side over here. He's going to bring a Braita. The Braita now has six cases in it. The first three cases, Bitul Rishut works. And the subsequent three cases, Bitul Rishut does not work. Echad shelo irev, notein rishuto lechad irev. If one of the individuals did not join in the Eruv, he can nullify, relinquish his control over the property, lechad shirev. To one who did make an Eruv. Shnaim Shirvu, two people that have an Eruv between them, Notim Rishutam Lechad Shelo Yirev. They can grant those rights to one individual who did not make an Eruv. Shnaim Shelo Yirvu, two who did not become a part of the Eruv, Notim Rishutam Lechad Shelo Yirev. They can grant their rights to two people who are in the Eruv, or Lechad Shelo Yirev, or to one who's not part of the Eruv. Aval, Lo Echad Shirev, Notim Rishuto Lechad Shelo Yirev. One individual who is part of the Eruv could not grant his rights to the one who did not become a part of the Eruv. Veid Shnaim Shirvu, two people who are in the Eruv, Notim Rishutam L'Shnaim Shelo Yirvu, to two that did not make an Eruv. Veid Shnaim Shelo Yirvu, Notim Rishutam L'Shnaim Shelo Yirvu, and two people who did not make an Eruv cannot grant their rights to two people who did not make an Eruv. Tani Mihat. So the Gemara will first address the question that Abaye is posing from here, which is, the Reisha says, Echad Shelo Yirev, one who did not make an Eruv, notein reshuto le'echad she'irev. It's the first case in the Braita. One who did not make an Eruv can't grant those rights to someone who did make an Eruv. Heichi dami, what's the case here? There's no one else here. It's just these two parties. Then how could it be there's a party here who made an Eruv? We have the first party who says he didn't make, wasn't a part of the Eruv. The second party says he is a part of the Eruv. Well, if it's only the two of them in the Chatzer, who exactly did he make an Eruv with? There's nobody else there to make an Eruv with. Ella, pshita de'ika achrina ba'adei. That must be that there's a third party there. There's a third party there that means that shildechet shelo yireiv, the person who was left out of the Eruv, now is being vato reshut to one who's part of an Eruv. Part of an Eruv means that he's one of many others, or at least one of two others, that are in the Chatzer. V'ktani lechet sheyireiv. And the Braita says that only has to grant that right to Mimvat Rashut to the one of the parties that's in the Eruv, which is against what Rabbah just said. Rabbah just said you have to grant the rights to every person in the Eruv. Here you don't have to grant rights to one of the parties that's in the Eruv. V'Rabbah Hacha B'mayaskinan. So how's Rabbah going to deal with this part of the Braita? Says V'Havo Mit. He was there, there was a third party there, but he died. He passed away. So when they came into the Shabbat, they had an Eruv between them. That party died. So then, Echad Shelo Yireiv came in Vatal Rishut to him. Gemara says, Ida Abu Mit. If that's the way you're going to explain this Braita, Ema Seifa. What about the Seifa? Now Seifa is case number 4. It's the case, the first case of the latter half of the Braita where they say it doesn't work. In that case, it says, Aval Ein Echad Yireiv, one person who had an Eruv cannot notain Rishuto the Echad Shelo Yireiv. The opposite of the first case in the Braita. First case in the Braita is the person without the Eruv is granting rights to the one who's in the Eruv. In this Seifa of the Braita, it's the opposite way around. The person who made the Eruv is granting the rights to the one who did not make the Eruv. V'idah havo mit, if he was there, if there was a third party there, because again it says, Echad she'irev, he had an Eruv, and he's granting rights to the person who didn't have an Eruv. If he has an Eruv, he has to have an Eruv with somebody. So there must have been a third party there. That third party, if you, Rabbi, are going to explain that third party was there and then died or passed away, am I low? Why can't he grant the rights? If he passed away already, then only people who are left now in the Chatzer is the one who's part of the original Eruv and the one who's not part of the Eruv. It's one and one. Of course he can be Mavato Rishut. Why does the Braita say he cannot be Mavato Rishut? Elapshito de'ita must be that he's still there. And that's what's causing the problem. If there are two parties that are part of the Eruv, then one of them can't grant their rights to the one Shaloba Eruv. The one who's not part of the Eruv, because then you still have the other party, that's a problem. So if you have A and B, who have made an Eruv together, and there's C without an Eruv, if only A grants rights to C, you haven't solved your problem, because you still have B, who didn't grant rights to C. And so, if that's the case, I understand why the Seifa of the Braita says this doesn't work. But if you tell me A and B made an Eruv, and then B passed away, the only one who's left is A, and he can't grant rights to C, why not? It's just one-on-one, he should be able to grant rights to him. El Pshito Deite. It must be that he's present. Ubi the Seife Ite, Raisha Nami Ite. And since the latter half of the Bright is talking about with the party still around, he wasn't there and passed away, Raisha Nami Ite. So too, the first case in the Mishnah is a case where he's still around. Gemara says, Midi Ayurya. Why do you have to say that? Hagadakita of Hadagita. Each case in the Bright will have its own explanation. The first case in the Bright will be a case where he was there and passed away. This latter case is a case where he's there and he's still there. We don't have to keep a consistency or a correlation between them. Fred asked a question which Rashi addresses and Tosfot disagrees. Well, even if you say to Havo Mit that he was there and then he passed away, there's a Yoresh, there's an inheritor. And we know that the rules are that by a Jew who owns a property, whether they're present or they're not present, they cause a problem for the Eruv. Well, if that's the case, then why over here is it not problematic? Even if you say the Havo Mit, that he was there and he passed away, his Yoresh now picks up the property, and then he has a problem. Rashi explains that the case here must be a case where they all camped out in the Bika. They're out in the field somewhere. We're not talking about a Chatzer. We're talking about out in a field somewhere. The three of them together in a encampment, an enclosure, and then one of them passes away. So there's no Yerusha to speak of here because they don't own the property. They're out in the public domain, not public in that sense, but unowned property. And therefore, there's no issue of Yoresh. Tosafot already says, Rashi went out of his way to do this. It wasn't necessary. Because we have a machloket earlier in the Masechta between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir. Russell will come up to it again. Which is, if a person leaves for Shabbat without the intent of coming back, then do we worry about his property in the Eruv? Rabbi Shimon says, even if you go to your daughter's house in the same city, we don't expect you to come home on Shabbat, and you're out of the Eruv, they don't have to worry about you. Rabbi Meir says that we do worry about you, unless you're so far away that you can't return. And we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, even a Yoresh shouldn't be a problem. The fact that the Yoresh isn't there and has no intention of coming there on Shabbat is enough to say that he's out of the Eruv and he's not a problem. So Tosfot says, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon, who we pass him like, you don't need any of this. He says, if you want to include Rabbi Meir, then you need Rashi's explanation. Or the other possibility is, Gon Shuzat Smoshi Reb, who are Yoresh. The other possibility is that it's the father and son of the two parties in the area. And therefore, the Eruv is between them, so you don't have that problem as well. But either way, you have to get rid of the Oresh for Rabbi Meir. For Rabbi Shimon, you don't need to get rid of the Oresh. So that's to address your issue. So now the Gemara continues to dissect the Braita, the six cases in the Braita. We explain case number one and case number four, which is the Resha, the Resha, the first case in the Resha, and Resha the Seifa, the first case in the Seifa, one of which is where it works, and one of which is where it doesn't work, and a case where it's one-on-one. Case where the person with the Eruv is Mevatel, the person without the Eruv, it does not work. Case where the person without the Eruv is Mevatel, the one with the Eruv, there it does work. And we had Abaye's explanation of that, and Rabba's explanation of that. Now we move on to the next case, Teda. Rabba says, I can prove to you that I'm right in this Braita. Diktani Seifa Dereisha. The last case in the Reisha, again, there are three cases in the first half of the Braita that say it works. So we're talking about the last case there, case number three. Ushnaim Shelo Irvu, two people did not make an Eruv. No Nimu Shutam L'Shnaim Shirvu. They can grant their rights to two people who or did make an Eruv. L'Shnaim In L'Echado. To two people they can grant the rights, but not one. There is a proof to Rabba's position. Why do the Shnaim Shelo Irvu, the two people did not join the Eruv, why are they Mevatel their Reshut to the two people who are in the Eruv? They simply could have been Mevatel Reshut, according to Abaye, to one of those two people. They didn't have to grant rights to both parties. Yet, the Braita says you grant rights to both parties. So Abaye Amar, my lebet, what does it mean to two of them? Lechad mi bet. It doesn't mean literally to two of them. It means one of those two. You can grant the rights to one of those two. Ihachi, litnei, lechad shi rave, odo achad shelo rave. Then change the wording in that part of the Braita. It would have been much simpler to say, to one who did make the Eruv or one who did not make the Eruv. Either one of those would have worked, because that's that case itself actually has, later on mentioned it, it's Echad Shelo Yireiv. But he should have just said to the one who did make an Eruv. Why does he say the Shnaim Shirvu? That's really a problem for Abaye, and therefore Kasha. That leaves a difficulty for Abaye's explanation of the Braita. Now the Gemara is going to go through case by case in the Braita and explain what the Chiddush is in each case, and how Abaye and Rabba will deal with it. So here's the first case in the Braita. Echad Shelo Yireiv, Notein Rishuto Lechad Shireiv. One who didn't make an Eruv can give rights to the person who did make an Eruv. Abaye de Ite. According to Abaye, that means there are three parties there. There are really three parties, and he's granting rights to one of the two parties in the Eruv. That's Abaye Lishitoto. V'kamash V'lan, Ein Tzarich Levatel Rishut L'Kol Echad V'Echad. And that part of the Braita teaches you don't have to grant rights to every party in the Eruv. Just have to grant it to one party. L'Rabbo. Rabbo's going to explain that part of the Braita as the Havo Mit, that he was there. There were three parties there, and that party who was part of the Eruv passed away. V'lo Gozer Zimnim De'ite. And they allow you to do this despite the fact that we could have been Gozer, that we won't let you do it when he passes away, maybe because when he doesn't pass away, you'll do it as well. We don't worry about that, and we let you grant the rights when he passes away. Case number two in the Braita. Oshnaim Shirvu, two people made an Eruv, notim reshutam lechad shelo yireiv. They can grant the rights to the one who didn't join the Eruv. So that's two parties giving it to the one party, and that works. Where it says, pshita, that's obvious. Of course you can grant rights to a single party. I would have thought Kevin Delo Yireiv can't say, since he didn't join into the Eruv, will make a knas, that he can't be the recipient of the nullification or relinquishment of control. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that, and you are able to give it to him. Third case in the Braita. Ubet Shelo Yirvu, Notnim Rishutam, L'Shnaim Shirvu. Two people who did not make an Eruv can give their Rishut, L'Shnaim Shirvu. Two people who did make an Eruv. The Rabba, Tana Seifa, L'Gluye Aresha. For Rabba, the whole point of this part of the Braita is to teach you that what the Resha, the first case, was talking about. Because here, it says two who did not make an Eruv are giving it to two who did make the Eruv, implying that you must give it to every person who's a part of the Eruv. That's exactly what Rabba wants. Rabbi is saying here, from this part of the bright, it's, you see, shnaim in echado. You must grant it to both of them and not to one of them. And that shows you that you have to grant to each one of them. Based on that, now I know that the first case in the Brayta must have been speaking about a case where there were three parties and one of them passed away. Because otherwise, if there are two parties there, you're going to have to grant the rights to both parties, otherwise it doesn't go through. Le'baye, Baye says, Betchelo yirvu itzrichale. The two that didn't join the Eruv we need. Maybe we should be gozer that they might reverse the process. Over here, it's the two who did not join the Eruv are granting rights to the two who are in the Eruv. If you were to do it in reverse, it wouldn't work. That's the safe of the Braita. If the two who did make the Eruv grant the rights to the two who are not part of the Eruv, it doesn't work. That's like granting it to Reuven and Shimon, where you have two parties, or Osira, Chara L'Sheni. In that case, Bitul Rishut does not work. So Baye says, we're not gozer, maybe you'll reverse the process, and you can go through with this. If the two did not join the Eruv, give it to the two who did join the Eruv, Kamash Malan, that's okay. That's fine. Ola Echad Shelo Yirev, this is like 3B. There's a second case in the third case of the Braita, which is that Bet Shelo Yirevu, the two parties who did not join the Eruv, can give it to one who did not join the Eruv. Lomali, what do I need that case for? Maudetem, I would have thought, Hani Mile Echadim Miksatan Yirevu, Miksatan Loyirevu. You can only do bitul reshut when some of the parties are part of the Eruv and some are not. Here, nobody made the Eruv. The two are granting the rights to more part of an Eruv, and they're granting rights to someone who wasn't part of the Eruv. That means there's no Eruv in this chatzer. So we would think, lekansinu, kedesh lo tishtakach toret Eruv. Let's put a kanas on them so that the Eruv is not forgotten. If we let them use this bitul reshut, then there'll be no Eruv in this chatzer. And then they won't come to make an Eruv in the future, or the kids won't realize that you need an Eruv. So maybe make a knas. Kamashalon, we don't say that in this case, and though, even though nobody was part of an Eruv, we allow you to do bitul reshut, assuming that bitul reshut gets you less than you would have gotten through the Eruv. If it gets you exactly what you would have gotten through the Eruv, then we say that tishtachach toret Eruv, that we saw from Rava earlier, he challenged Abaye about this, and we said then you can't do bitul reshut. But as long as bitul reshut gets you a lower standard or less benefit than doing the Eruv itself, we don't worry about it because you have an incentive to put in the Eruv because it'll gain you much more than doing bitul reshut.
Is this the whole part of the Haredi approach against Eruv Bichlal, that children won't know about carrying?
I don't think that's their approach. It happens to be a major problem that our children grow up today without any knowledge of or understanding that you can't carry on Shabbat. They don't understand that. They just think you can carry on Shabbat. They have no association with the Isser Melacha of Hotzah on Shabbat. That is, most of their issues have to do with the Rambam and being the Omeid Merube Ala Parutz, and that you can't use these Surat HaPetachs that we use. That's a major issue that most people have with the Eruvin today, aside from the issues of Rishut HaRabim and what's classified as Rishut HaRabim. There are cities, I know that Rabbi Teitz in Elizabeth, once a year, takes down the Eruv. And he does it on the same Shabbat every year, so there's no mistake in Shlot Tishtacha Torot Hotza'ah, so that they won't forget that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbat. I mean, it's a huge inconvenience on that Shabbat, but he does it because otherwise, there's just no way for children to understand that Hotza'ah is a problem on Shabbat. Here's the fourth case in the Braita, which is the beginning of the Seifa. This is the Reish of the Seifa. Aval Ein Echad Shireiv Notem Shutot Echad Shelo Yireiv. Someone who did make an Eruv cannot give his rights over to the one who's not Eruv. So for Abaye, the Sefer comes to teach us about the Reisha. What's the problem in this case? The problem is that there's an Eruv. The Eruv means there's multiple parties over here. If there are multiple parties, one of those parties can't grant the rights to the Echad Shelo Yireiv. All the parties have to grant it because the person they're granted to is not part of an Eruv. He's not joined with anybody else. So when he grants the rights, he has to grant his rights, and the other individual who's in part of the Eruv has to grant his rights. What you see from this is that there are multiple parties in the Chatzer, and that's what Abaye wants, to teach you about the first case in the Bright, that there are also multiple parties. And when they're there, despite the fact there are multiple parties, you only have to be Mevatel Reshut to one of those parties. And that's a proof to Abaye's position that you don't have to be mevatel to kol echad ve'echad. So this fourth case in the Braita, the first of their Seifa for Abaye, tells us that there are multiple parties here and teaches us about the Reisha, the first case of the Braita, that that's a case where you don't have to be mevatel kol echad ve'echad. Being mevatel to one of them is sufficient. The Rabba in this case is Adet Tani Reisha, Tani Nami Seifa. There's no Chiddush here. It's just it's the reverse of the first case in the Braita. And it's for parallel structure, just literary style it's put in here, even though it has no meaning, even though it adds nothing to the Braita. Next case, case number 5 in the Braita, Ein Shnaim Shirvu, Nodim Shutam L'Shnaim Shlo Yirvu. Two people who are part of the Eruv cannot grant their rights to two people who are not part of the Eruv. Ha tu lamali. Why do you have this extra piece here? That's obvious that they can't grant it to Reuven and Shimon. That's what we just had in our Mishnah. The Gemara says it's coming to the Sisha. Look, Tzricha, we do need it. Debatulei chad minayu luchavrei. After they granted the rights to Reuven and Shimon, or not part of the Eruv, Reuven goes ahead and subsequently relinquishes his rights to Shimon. That we say, let's think that maybe that works. Kamashimlan, that doesn't work, because same reason that we gave yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, for our Mishnah, doesn't work. Since at the moment you relinquished rights to this individual, it was not successful, it was not able to grant the ability to carry in this chatzer, it's as if the bittul rishut never took effect. Bittul rishut only works, or only functions, if it works. It's effective. And since here it's not effective because you granted it to two people, it's as if it dissolves right away. There is no bittul rishut anymore. And the fact that Reuven subsequently gives the rights to Shimon, he can't, because the rights never went through. The last case in the Braita, two people that are not part of the Eruv can't grant it to two people that are not part of the Eruv. Again, why do I need this extra case? It's obvious, if you're granting rights to two people, it's not going to work. Lo, tzricha, we do need this case. The amrek nei, amanat laknot. Same way that we explained in our Braita what the Chiddush is. Over here, they granted, the two individuals granted their rights to two parties, but they told one of the parties, please give those rights over to the other party. So they granted their rights to Reuven and Shimon, but they told Reuven, please pass those rights on to Shimon. So in the end, Shimon will be a single party. Where it says, Kamash Vlam, that doesn't work. Because if it was not effective at the moment you did the bittul rishut, there is no bittul rishut. And therefore Reuven has nothing to pass on to Shimon. Even if you articulate it that way. Even though you say, Reuven, give it to Shimon, it won't work because it was not effective when you did it, and there is no bittul rishut over here.
Is this a major opening problem to pass through a shlichus like this?
Because here it's not a real kinyan. Here we know bittul rishut works without a kinyan.
Look, comments, the Midrash comments, I know, for instance, many are going to sell through one, like, main rub, if you will.
Right. But they do it through Kenyan. You appoint them through a Kenyan to be a Shliach, and they do the Shlichut, and then they effectively appoint the other rub to be a Shliach through Kenyan. Those are effective Kenyanim. There you can do it. Over here, by Bittul Rishut, we know Bittul Rishut, the Gemara says, works even without a Kenyan. You don't have to make a Kenyan to acquire the Bittul Rishut.
If you did Kenyan, it would be all right.
Maybe, but then you won't be able to do it on Shabbat itself, possibly, if you did a Kenyan. But Bittul Rishut is effective just by articulation. It's a lower standard of kinyan, and because of that, it does not become effective in passing it along. It's both a dispensation, but also a weakness in the form of bittul rishut. Right now, back to Fred's question again. The Gemara wants to know more detail about Yoresh. By mine Rava mi Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman, Yoresh ma'u shibatel rishut. A Yoresh, someone who inherits on Shabbat itself, can he pass on, can he relinquish control over that property to the remainder of the parties in the chatzer? So here he has a case where shachach aviv, according to Rashi, his father forgot to be a part of the eruv, umeit b'shabbat, and then he passed away on Shabbat, velo bitel rishuto, and the father was not bevatel rishut. So the father is the problem here in the chatzer. His son now inherits him on Shabbat. Can the son rectify the problem that the father was causing? Can the son now go be mevatel rishut for what his father did not take care of? Tosafot says, based on what he said in the previous Tosafot, that it must be that the Yoresh is actually living here or comes to live there. Because if he doesn't come to live there, the previous Tosafot said he's not an issue for them. So it must be a case where he comes to live, he comes to take over the property after his father passes away, he comes to live there. He gave an alternative, is that maybe he lives there already. But if he lives there already, it causes other issues, which is that he could have done it on behalf of his father before his father passed away. And therefore, we're more likely, he says, to explain it that he came on Shabbat now to live there. What can he do? We know that the principle is, if you could have made an Eruv before Shabbat, then you can be Mevatel Rishut. You could have made the Eruv, you failed to be a part of the Eruv, we grant you a dispensation to be Mevatel Rishut. This Yoresh couldn't have been a party to the Eruv before, and it wasn't his property. So lo matzi mevatel, therefore he can't do bittul rishut here. He wasn't the owner going into Shabbat, so he couldn't make the Eruv. So if that's the case, he can't be mevatel rishut here. Oh, dilma yoresh kari davuahu. Or does yoresh, basically the thigh of his father, the leg of his father, he's an extension of his father. He basically fills the shoes of his father. It's not that he's a new entity here, he's not a new party here. He's just replacing his father as the owner of this property. And in doing so, his father could have made an Eruv on Erev Shabbat, so now he can do Bittul Reshut on Shabbat itself, because he's just a continuum of his father. So that's the question.
Bottom, right? Because he's losing stuff.
You wouldn't
say
Zachin
Shalom
B'Fanav
kind of thing, because he's losing by
Bittul. Two different things. Zachin Shalom B'Fanav doesn't work by Bittul, it only works by Eruv. So you could have said Zachin Shalom B'Fanav for his father by Eruv, because his father was the owner on Friday afternoon. He wasn't the owner. You can't say Zachin Shalom B'Fanav to someone who's not an owner there. So it wouldn't have helped you. Zachin Shalom B'Fanav would help, for instance, when the father's on his deathbed. You could be mezakeh him in the Eruv without any problem. Because it's a zechut for him to be part of the Eruv, and you can do it on his behalf. Someone in the party, you could do it for your whole chatzer. We've seen that already. If you have the Eruv in your property, you can designate food and say everybody's a party to this food, and your Eruv's done. Zachin Shalom B'Fanav. But over here, the Yoresh is not a party on Friday afternoon. So you can't be Zachin Shalom B'Fanav if he's not a party. He only becomes a party on Shabbat. And that's the question here. When he becomes a party on Shabbat, is he a separate entity? Is he a new owner, basically, of the property? Or is he a continuum of his father? He is just a continuation of the father's ownership in the property. And since the father could have been a part of an Eruv and Erev Shabbat, he can be Mevatel Reshut on Shabbat itself. So Amar Lei, he responded to him, Ani Omer Mevatel. I say that he can be Mevatel. So here you have Rava asking Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman responding and saying, yes, you can be Mevatel. But he says, V'ani Debei Shmuel Tanu Ein Mevatel. Yet Shmuel says you cannot be Mevatel. Machloket Amoraim between Rav Nachman and Shmuel. Etevei, Zeklal. Now he brings a bright challenge Rav Nachman's position. Kol shemutar lemikset Shabbat, hutar lechol haShabbat. Anything that was mutar for a portion of Shabbat remains mutar for the remainder of Shabbat. Kol shneasar lemikset Shabbat, neasar lechol haShabbat. Anything that is asur for a portion of Shabbat remains asur for the entire Shabbat. Chutz, mevatel reshut. Except for, or the exception to that rule is someone who is mevatel reshut. But we know that being Mevatel Reshut in the middle of Shabbat allows you to make the Eruv effective in the middle of Shabbat. So now the Gemara goes back and wants to understand the Braita. So what's the case that Kol Shehutar LeMikset Shabbat, Mutar LeChol HaShabbat? What's that case? Kagon. Irev Derech HaPetach, Ministam HaPetach. Irev Derech HaLom, Ministam HaChalon. You have, for instance, two Chatzerot that are adjacent to each other, and there's a doorway in between them. The doorway in between them allows them to make an Eruv between the two Chatzerot, because that access between them allows them to become one party if they choose. So they place the Eruv over there. Then, over Shabbat, all of a sudden there's something falls down, a bunch of rocks fall down. Something happens that blocks the doorway. Now, without the doorway or a blockage of the doorway, they no longer can be a joint Eruv. Despite that fact, the Eruv remains in place, even though now they can't get back and forth, they can throw things over the wall. The Eruv is still effective, even though what allowed the Eruv is no longer there. Subsequent Shabbat, they won't be able to make an Eruv. But that Shabbat, since they started the Shabbat Beheter, it's fine. Same thing with a window. A window that's 4x4 tzvachim between two chatzerot, they can make a single Eruv. So for whatever reason, the window gets blocked in on Shabbat, the Eruv is still effective for the remainder of Shabbat. So that's what it means that it's a mutar mixed at a Shabbat. It's a Zeklal. What's a Zeklal? The Zeklal comes to teach you that tuye. So the Gemara says there's one case, and Zeklal comes to say that there's even another case. So they gave you the first case, which was mutar mixed at a Shabbat. It's a case where they have the Eruv in the doorway of the window, and then that disappears in Shabbat. What's that klal come to include? That comes to include a case where you have a mavoi. A toy mavoi should nitlu korotav olechiyav. If you have a mavoi who had a korah coming into Shabbat, or had a lechi coming into Shabbat, which allowed you to carry there, and all of a sudden in the middle of Shabbat, one of the kids walked off with the lechi, walked off with the korah, and there's no lechi or korah, you can still carry on that Shabbat. That's still effective. Now your question has to do with if the Eruv falls down. Over here, the mechitzot are still in place, basically. You're missing a part of it, but the mechitzot are still in place. And the way that we have Eruv today, it might be that you have a problem because we do it through Tzuret HaPetach. And if the Tzuret HaPetach disappears, you don't have a mechitzah up anymore. So that might present a bigger problem than what you're speaking about over here. Then the Gemara says, Kol Nesar LeMikset Shabbat Nesar LeChol HaShabbat. What's the case where it's a sur for a portion of Shabbat, it remains a sur for the whole Shabbat? Kula, Kagom, Shnei Batim B'Shnei Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. This is the case that we saw before. You have two houses on two sides of Rishut HaRabim. V'Kifum Nachrim Mechitza B'Shabbat. All of a sudden the Goyim show up on Shabbat and they put a Mechitza around the both of them. Now all of a sudden what was Rishut HaRabim between them now becomes a Chatzer between them. Can they join that property? The answer is no. We said that you can't do that, at least according to Shmuel, you can't do that, because you cannot be Mevatel Reshut. Problem here is that you couldn't have been Ma'ariv on Erev Shabbat, because you weren't accessible to that property. It was Reshut Rabbim coming in. The fact that mechitza here is now is affected because they can, and mechitza that comes up on Shabbat is affected, but the property between you now, which is a chatzer or a joint property between you, you can't be mevatel reshut because you didn't have the ability to do an eruv before Shabbat. You can't do bittul reshut on Shabbat. So that which was asur before Shabbat remains asur on Shabbat. Zeh klala tulyei mai. The zeh klal, that's the beginning of this brayta, applies both to the resha and the seifa. So what does that come to include? Vatulyei meit nachri b'Shabbat. When the nachri passes away on Shabbat itself. He did not join the Eruv, and you came into Shabbat, and he's a problem for the Eruv, because he lives in your chatzer. Then he passes away on Shabbat, so the problem has now disappeared. So when that problem disappears on Shabbat, what can you do about it? Can you be mevatel reshut, and everything will be fine, or not? So here, Rashi says it's a case where the Nachri was there on Erev Shabbat, and since on Erev Shabbat, since before Shabbat they couldn't have made an Eruv, b'matzi ma'arve hashtod. You can't do the Eruv now, or you can't do the bittul reshut now, because the Nachri was a block on Erev Shabbat. He was the problem on Erev Shabbat, and since he was the problem on Erev Shabbat, when it comes to being bittul reshut on Shabbat, it does not work. Even if the other parties, the Jews in there, had an Eruv going to Shabbat, the Nachri is a problem for them, because as soon as the Nachri is there, it's their Eruv collapses. Since the Eruv collapses, if he passes away on Shabbat, now you have to do something. What they could have done is bittul reshut. But we don't allow them to do bittul reshut because then they have the ability to do an Eruv on Erev Shabbat. Because the Nachri was there. And without Shkirut, they couldn't have done an Eruv on Shabbat. Tosafot here takes issue with Rashi's explanation for the same reason he did before, which is that if the Nachri is there before Shabbat, that's considered as if you had the ability to make the Eruv. Yes, you have to do Shkirut. But if you did Shkirut, the Eruv is effective, and that's as if the Eruv is there, and you could be mevatel reshut. So Tosafot over here explains similar to that he did before, and that before that here it's a case where the Nachri showed up on Shabbat. He both showed up on Shabbat and passed away on Shabbat. Because he showed up on Shabbat, you couldn't have done the Eruv on Erev Shabbat. He wasn't there. So the Eruv that you made on Erev Shabbat was effective, actually. You could carry between you because the Nachri was not there. As soon as the Nachri shows up on Shabbat, it dissolves the Eruv. The Eruv is now ruined. And now you have to do something when he passes away. There, you don't have the principle that you could have made an Eruv on Erev Shabbat. Therefore, you can be mevatel reshut. The Nachri wasn't here on Erev Shabbat to make the Eruv with. So Tosafot says it's a case where the Nachri shows up on Shabbat and passes away on Shabbat. Rashi says it's even a case where the Nachri was there before Shabbat. So then, Viktani, the Braita says, chutz mi mevatel reshut. The exception to the rule is bittul reshut, which allows you, even in the middle of Shabbat, to take something that's asur and make it mutar. Rashi says the problem here is that it says chutz mi mevatel reshut and doesn't say chutz mi mevatel reshut v'yoresh. Because Yoresh should be another exception to the rule, according to what you're saying. Yoresh should be able to change the status in the middle of Shabbat. It was asur till now because of the father. Now the Yoresh is mevatel reshut, and it works. So the fact that the Braita only made the exception, chutz mevatel reshut, doesn't say chutz meyoresh, Rashi says is the question here on Rav Nachman's position. The Gemara's answer is, ema chutz mitorat bittul reshut. Yoresh is still functioning within the world of bittul reshut. The reason the Yoresh is able to change the status is because it's mevatel reshut. And that's what it means. Chutz here means with the exception of Torat bittul reshut. Anything that works through bittul reshut, including Yoresh. Yoresh is included in that category. And that's what it means, chutz mevatel reshut. And that's why it's not a problem for Rav Nachman. Bittul reshut is the way that you actually get the Yoresh to be not a problem here on Shabbat. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosafot takes issue. He says, what type of diuk is this? He says, he doesn't understand the diuk of, oh, it says bittul reshut, doesn't say Yoresh. Says, I don't understand this at all. And then he brings two interpretations or two possibilities from the Beinu Hanano to explain the question. And he says the question is actually not on Rav Nachman, but rather the question is on Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel who say, Ein Mevatel, that the Yoresh is not allowed to be Mevatel. And over here it says, the exception to the rule here is Mevatel Reshut. And since that is the exception to Mevatel Reshut, sounds like Bittul Reshut works even with a Yoresh. And if that's the case, then it's a question on the position of Shmuel says that Bittul Reshut does not work by the Yoresh. Even though the remainder of the questions here, we're going to bring a bunch of brayot now coming up, are all questions on Rav Nachman. Nevertheless, this question's on Shmuel, according to the Rabbeinu Hananel. So the first way he asks the question is because it says, Mevatel Reshut works, sounds like it works for anybody, for any party, or even for Yoresh. The answer is, no, Chutz mi Torat Bittul Reshut. It's not for everybody it works. It only works for Torat Bittul Reshut, for someone who is a party to Bittul Reshut. Who is a party to Bittul Reshut? Someone who had the ability to make an Eruv on Erev Shabbat. Then you have the rights to Bittul Reshut. But otherwise, the Yoresh doesn't have those rights. That's how Shmuel answers it. Rabbeinu Hananel gives another alternative explanation, which is, what is Chutz Mevatel Reshut modifying over here? the case, or at least Na'avamina, we think it's modifying the case where you have Shnei Batim and Shnei Shuta Rabim, and Goyim come and they may keep it on Shabbat. So when they may keep it on Shabbat, you have a property in between them. And the Breita says, Chutz Mivatul Rishut. Mivatul Rishut works in that case. That's what it sounds like. Bitul Rishut works in that case. Well, if it works in that case, it certainly works in the case of Yoresh. In that case, there was no way they could have gotten together before Shabbat, and yet it still works. Yoresh at least has some semblance of being there before Shabbat through his father, so certainly it should work. The answer of the Gemara is you got it wrong. It's not modifying that case. It's modifying the case of Torah Bitul Rishut, which is the case of Bnei Chatzer Sheshachach Echad. That it was only matter of a Chatzer, but one person forgot. It's not a case mentioned in the Braita, it's a case in general. Torah Bitul Rishut, which is a case where one person in the Chatzer forgot he could do Bitul Rishut. So that's no proof. So the question would be on Shmuel at first, because it sounds like you can do Bitul Rishut even when it happened in the middle of Shabbat and Achrim came and put the Mechitza up. If that's the case, certainly your race should work. And that would be a problem for Shmuel. The answer is that you got the wrong case. Chutz Bitul Rishut is not referring to that case. It's referring to a case, normal case of Chatzer, where one person forgot. Bitul Rishut there works because he was there on Erev Shabbat. It could have been a part of the Eruv, and there it works. But by Yoresh, it would not work. And now the Gemara continues with another question. Eitvei. Echad mimnei Chatzer shemet. Person in the Chatzer passed away. V'niach ushutot echad min ashuk. And he granted his property, his inheritance, to someone who was not a party to the Chatzer. Was not a person in the Chatzer. Maybe Ojom, if it happens before Shabbat, the onset of Shabbat, Oser. Michashecha ain't Oser. If it happened after Shabbat came in, then it's not, he's not Oser. So if it happens, Mibe Ojom, if it happens already during the daytime, then we say to him, they should have taken care of it. There's now a new party to the Chatzer, and you have to take care of it. Now Rashi says in the Tosafot seconds, this is according to Rabbi Meir, it's according to the opinion who says even when the person's not living there, they're a problem. Because over here, the person passes away, and all of a sudden we have a third party who owns it, and we're saying that third party is a problem. So it must be, according to the one who says, that even if you own a storage house in the Chatzer, you need to be a party to the Eruv. So Tovia, even though the guy doesn't live there, he has to be a party to the Eruv. If it happened before Shabbat, we say to them, why don't you get him into the Eruv? If you didn't get him into the Eruv, he's a problem for you on Shabbat, because he was an owner prior to Shabbat. On the other hand, if he passes away on Shabbat, then we say that it's okay, because it was mutar the mixed Shabbat, it remains mutar for the remainder of Shabbat.
Point of view of halacha and wills and so on. Right. Because unless it's an atona, lifetime, you have the halacha of Yerusha to take over. The will itself is not going to be counted today, bequeathed, very nice to say bequeathed. You can't do that in halacha.
Alright, so the chedma shuk here, I just want to know, it doesn't necessarily have to be not his child. It just means someone who's not a party to the chatzer. The reason that the chedma shuk is important here is not that it's not his relative. It's just that it's not someone who's a party in living in this chatzer. That's what's important in this case. The next case is ve'echad min hashuk shemet, someone from the shuk who passed away. V'niach ushuto le'echad mi'bnei chatzer. He granted his rights to the bnei chatzer. Now, what do you mean? Echad min hashuk who dies, he gives his rights to someone bnei chatzer. The person from the shuk, a third party, he doesn't own property here, so that can't be the case. So Rashi explains it. Echad min hashuk she'elo beit yirah b'chatzer zu. He owned property here. And then he granted the rights to Echad Mibnei Chatzer. So that's the difference in the two cases. In the first case, he passes away, he owns property here, and the recipient, or the Yoresh here, is outside of the Chatzer. In the second case, he owns property in the Chatzer, and the Yoresh is in the Chatzer. In that case, Miba Ojom, if it happens before the onset of Shabbat, Einu Oser. It's not Oser, because now he is the owner of both properties. And when he joins the Eruv, he joins the Eruv as the owner of both properties, so you're fine. Micha Sheikha, if it happens after the onset of Shabbat, Oser. He's Oser. Somebody says, am I Oser? Why should he be Oser? Nevatel. Let him be Mevatel, the additional Rishut he acquired on Shabbat, as the Yoresh. So that would be a problem for Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says the Yoresh can be Mevatel Rishut. Yet, the Braita does not suggest that as a solution. When it says, my Oser, Nami Dittani, the word Oser means that he's Asur Ad Shivatel. You're right. He's Oser on the parties in the Chatzer until he does Bitul Rishut. But once he does Bitul Rishut, he's not Oser anymore. Tashma, another case. Yisrael v'ger shuim b'megurachat. You have a Yisrael, a regular Jew, and a convert that live together in an area. Umeit ger mi ba'odyom. And the ger passes away before Shabbat. Afal pi she'echzik Yisrael acher b'nechasav. Even though a third party took possession of his property, again, the ger has no yoroshim, so anybody, the first come, first serve. So even if another Jew came and took possession of the property, oser, he's problematic. Mishach hashecha, if he takes possession of it after dark, afu pishlo yikzik Yisrael acher, even if no other Jew took possession of it, ain't oser, it doesn't cause a problem. Gemara says, ha gufa gasha, that makes no sense. Amart mi ba'od yom, you said when it happens before Shabbat, before the onset of Shabbat, Even though a third party took possession of it. And certainly, we don't have to talk about a case. Mar says, Adarabba. He says, it makes no sense. In the case where he didn't take possession of it, there's no reason to believe that it's asur. So why would you say over here, just because he took possession of it, it's asur? Implying that if he didn't take possession of it, it's certainly asur. Why would it be certainly asur? Nobody takes possession of the property, it's hefker. There's no other owner here. So why shouldn't it work in that case? Amara, papa, ema, you have to amend the brayta to read like this. Afal pi shelo yechzik. Even though he didn't take possession of it. Gemara says, but afal pi sheyechzik tani. That's not what it says in the brayta. The brayta says, afal pi sheyechzik. Hachi kamar, this is what it means. Afal pi shelo yechzik mi bo jom elamei chashecha. Even though he didn't take possession of it before the onset of Shabbat, except rather after Shabbat, the onset of Shabbat, since he should have taken possession or could have taken possession of it before the onset of Shabbat, therefore he causes a problem on Shabbat when he takes possession of it. Because he could have taken possession beforehand, since he could does it now, he makes a problem. After onset of Shabbat, even if no other person takes possession of the property, he ain't oser, he doesn't cause a problem. Where it says, Afal pi shelo yechzik Yisrael acher? Even though no third party takes possession of it, velo mi bayi kehechzik, but that means that it's obvious when a third party does take possession of it that it's not a problem. Adarabba, it should be a problem. Kehechzik asar. If a third party takes possession here, he causes a problem. So why is it so obvious when the third party takes possession it's not a problem? So Amar Rav Papa does the same thing again. Ema afopi shehechzik. It's a case where even though he did take possession of it, where it says v'havu pishlo hechzik tani, same problem. The Braita doesn't say that. The Braita says even though shelo hechzik. So he rereads it again. Even though he took possession of it after dark, since he had no possibility of taking possession of it before the onset of Shabbat, because the ger didn't pass away till Shabbat itself, therefore we're not going to penalize the chatzer and say that his ownership causes a problem over here. Tani mihat. Here's the question to Rav Nachman. Reisha oser. And the Reisha, when he comes in and takes possession of it, he causes a problem. Amai oser. Why is he oser? Nivatel. Let him be mivatel reshut. Why can't he be mivatel reshut over here? So here he's acting as a yoresh. He's functioning like a yoresh. And yet, vitel reshut doesn't work over here. When it says, my oser, diktani, what is the oser that meant here? Ad shivatel. The same way we answered the previous breita, which means it's asur until he is mivatel reshut. But until he's mivatel reshut, it is asur. But vitel reshut would work, like Rav Nachman says. Yerochanan amar. And Rabbi Yochanan, we're going back to our Mishnah now. We had a machlok of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in our Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Beit Shammai says that Bitul Rishut only works before the onset of Shabbat. Beit Hillel says it works even with the onset of Shabbat. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Matnitan Mani. Who's the author that writes the Beit Shammai? The Amri ain't Bitul Rishut be Shabbat. Because he says there's no Bitul Rishut on Shabbat. That's not. Our Mishnah, Mei Matai Notim Rishut, Beit Shammai Amrim, Beit Yom, Beit Hillel Amrim, Mishetech Shach. So the author of this breita must be Beit Shammai, because our breita says you can't do Bitul Rishut once the onset of Shabbat comes. So it's authored by Beit Shammai. And if Beit Shammai is the author of this breita, then it's not a question on Rav Nachman. The reason you can't do Bitul Rishut on Shabbat has nothing to do with the fact that he's a Yoresh, but everything to do with the fact that it's authored by Beit Shammai, who doesn't allow Bitul Rishut on Shabbat. Now, Amar Ula, my time of the Beit Hillel. Why does Beit Hillel say it works even on Shabbat? Now, Seke Omer, it's the equivalent of a case that where a person says, Klach etel yafot. Why don't you give him the better ones? This is a case where a person goes to take off chuma from a person's property without permission. Person has tevel, and this individual, this third party, comes along and starts taking off chuma on behalf of the balim and the owners, without permission from the owners. The owners show up in the middle of the process, and they say, Klach etel yafot. Why don't you give him from the nicer ones? Now, the Gemara in Boba Metzia says it depends what's there. If there actually are nicer ones there, then he was being honest. And he's saying, why don't you give the truma from the nicer ones? That means that he is implicitly approving of what this individual does, and he's making him into a shliach, and the truma works. On the other hand, if there are no nicer fruits there to give the truma from, and he says, why don't you give them from the nicer ones, then he's being sarcastic. When he's being sarcastic, basically he's saying, why'd you give them from the nicest stuff? If that's the case, he's not granting him the right to be a shliach, and it's not effective. So when is it effective? It's effective when he says to him, why don't you give him from the nicer ones, which implicitly approves of what he's doing because there were nicer ones. So that's the same here. Over here, by the case of Bitul Rishut, since now he grants reshut, and he shows us that originally he really wanted it to be mutar to carry in the chatzir, we say the same thing. Now that he's megaledat on Shabbat, that he really wanted it to be mutar to carry on Shabbat, we say it's as if he granted the bitul reshut beforehand. It's as if he was a party to the chatzir and the eruv beforehand. Similar to by Torim, where he comes and says it, it's as if he gave implicit approval to the shliach from before he started. So to over here, it's as if he grants the right before Shabbat. How are you going to explain the case where a Nachri passes away on Shabbat? And now, we say Bittul Rishut works. But why should Bittul Rishut work over there? How can you say go to the better ones? They couldn't have done the Bittul Rishut before Shabbat. Bittul Rishut wouldn't have worked before Shabbat because Nachri was there. The only reason that Bittul Rishut works now is because Nachri passed away. So you can't give your explanation that it's retroactively as if they did the Bittul Rishut beforehand. There was no beforehand, so that cannot be the explanation. This is the machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai savri bitul reshut mikna reshutohu. Beit Shammai says that bitul reshut is the equivalent of a full-fledged kinyan. Mikna reshutohu b'Shabbat asur. Doing kinyanim on Shabbat is asur because of mekel chomemkar. It looks like you're transacting. Another Beit Hillel savri is teluke reshutohu b'almahu. Bitul reshut is simply a relinquishment of control. It's teluke reshutohu b'Shabbat shapir dami. Relinquishment of control on Shabbat is not a real kinyan. It's a action that allows the Eruv to go through. It's an action that allows people to carry in the chatzir. It's simply a relinquishment of control. We said before that you simply have to articulate it. You don't have to do any formal kinyan. Since you don't have to do any formal kinyan, there's no question of getting mixed up with mekach u'memkar. And that's why it's permitted on Shabbat. Tosafot here discusses a shechiv mira as well. Person who is on his deathbed. And over there, we even permitted to do kinyanim on Shabbat because shaloti tarif dato. So he shouldn't go out of his mind. We're allowed to do, or these their dispensations granted to help out the shechiv meira. So even over here, we don't allow kinyanim on Shabbat. Nevertheless, over there, we do grant the right to do kinyanim on Shabbat. We'll stop here.